Conversations with the Warriors head coach, brought to you by Xfinity. Stay connected, protected, and entertained. Steve, thank you very much for joining us. As always, it's a pleasure to have you on the show today. How's it going, man? Congrats on the win last night. Three in a row. Looking good.
Yeah, well, last night we were looking good. I don't know about the previous couple, but we were piecing it together and making it work. So it's good to feel like we had to dig our way out and then really break out last night with a great performance.
So what is the better post game for you? What from feeling the locker room to obligations that you have dealing with post game media to your own drive home? Which puts the bigger bounce in your step, Steve? Like when you get a buzzer beater, when you have a hard-fought defensive possession to win a game, or when you blow a pretty good team out by 38?
What do you think?
I'm guessing you're going to take the easy night at work.
No doubt. I look at all this stuff in total, and the season kind of breaks off into segments, and I feel like these last couple of weeks have been a segment where we could feel things slipping. You know, we had obviously Draymond's injury and some inconsistency, and we weren't playing very well, and so you do feel those times where, you know, things are slipping away a little bit. And you really do have to fight your way out of them. And so in these cases, you know, you got to identify the issues. You got to get everybody together. You got to, you know, have the group respond as one. And you got to claw your way out of it. And when you do that, it's incredibly satisfying. And I think, you know, this group is really resilient, and they're tough, and they were able to, kind of climb out of that hole here in the last week or so, getting some hard-earned wins. Maybe didn't look pretty, but emerged from that, I think, feeling stronger, and that showed last night. That was one of our best performances of the year.
You said that you sort of look at the year in segments. How many games do you need to see something like what you got last night? Not in terms of point statistics, but just in flow and rhythm, how many of those do you sort of need to see in a row before you say, we're back where we ought to be?
Probably a few, you know, but you can also feel a vibe in the locker room. There's a sense of relief when guys kind of understand, okay, we made it through whatever the latest challenge was. And then inevitably, the next one pops up. But in the meantime, if you can, you know, reel off six or seven wins in a row and great performances, and guys are feeling confident, and you're able to, you know, add a layer of something to your team execution wise, then, you know, that's how you get the improvement you need over the course of the year. And so I think that's the way I look at it is, you know, there's constant improvement that's happening, but you're at different levels based on schedules, injuries, you know, whatever it is that's affecting your team.
Steve Kerr here on 95.7 The Game. So Klay's return, I think, has been a study in how an NBA player has to regain form to get back to who he used to be. And it started with just him trusting his body. Then it was getting his wind up. Then it was making sure the selection of shots and the mechanics were all still there. And it feels like the final piece of the puzzle maybe came into focus last night, and that's just feel for the game. Did you think that last night was Klay's best night feeling a basketball game?
Definitely his best night, you know, in terms of the flow and the pace. And I think it wasn't really a coincidence that it came, you know, after a couple of weeks where he had a chance to get his feet wet, to play, to have some success, to have some struggles, to also miss a game. I just think finally he's settled in and for the big picture, for the long haul. Whereas, you know, you can imagine after 2.5 years out, those first couple of weeks were a little bit of a whirlwind. But I just thought he looked really patient, and he looked like he was really enjoying himself last night. That was fun to see.
I tell you, you got to have some gravitas to pull off the captain and Tennille captain's hat. You really do.
You got to have a lot of self-confidence, no question.
Or a shortage of hats.
Good point, right?
Yeah. You also got what looked like a much more relaxed and comfortable performance out of Jordan Poole. Is his performance and Clay's performance linked in some way because, you know, they basically play the same position? Or is that just sort of coincidence for one night and there's nothing to draw from it?
Well, we'll see. You know, I hope that there's that's a sign of things to come, because what we need is for Jordan to become really comfortable in that six-man role. And we need, obviously, we need Clay to, you know, to be Clay. And if Jordan can play that role where he's, you know, the scorer off the bench and really kind of supercharging us when he comes into the game, and then we can throw him out there with Steph and Clay like we did last night, that's a new lineup for us where we have that kind of playmaking and firepower. So it's a lot of possibilities there, but they can only work if Jordan gets comfortable, you know, coming off the bench after, and it's not an easy thing after starting half the year.
What's it like? You're around them every day. Would you say that Clay and Jordan had a good relationship? Do they interact personally well with each other? And moments off the floor, in the locker room, is there any good-natured competition between the two of them that you can tangibly feel?
Well, you know, the last couple of years have been kind of strange, really, because while Clay has been around and doing his rehab, he hasn't been on the court with the guys, you know, in competition. And I think that's what it takes in order to really get to know someone, get to know a teammate. You got to compete with them before you can really grow that relationship. So in a lot of ways, you know, Clay just coming back is the start of the relationship between him and Jordan and some of the other young guys. They need to grow together. They need to build chemistry together. And it only happens on the court at this stage.
I don't like health questions, but I'm suckered into it. Where is Draymond Green in terms of a return? Not a date. I don't want a date. But is he on the pace you thought he would be in his rehab from his injury?
You know, we've been saying all along we would have an update. I think Sunday is the date that we'll update. But everything's gone well with the rehab. And so we'll have another update as soon as we do. But in the meantime, you know, I've been focused on the team, and I see Draymond pretty much every day, and he's working with Rick, and you know, he's in good spirits. But I don't know exactly, you know, when he's going to be back and all that stuff. So we'll have an update Sunday.
You know, you said last night, Steve, that the decision to have Jonathan Kuminga be the starting understudy for Draymond Green, it was an announcement that you made, but then matchups dictate Otto Porter Jr. being put into the starting lineup, and that Kuminga leaving the lineup is no reflection on what you think of him as a player or how you're evaluating him. And we all want to believe that for sure, especially when we go out and we see this guy just become a human highlight. It's like you got Dominique Wilkins at the age of 19 out there a little bit.
Yeah, he's just incredibly athletic and powerful, and we saw that again last night. Fun to watch, and fun to help him develop. And you know, it's one of the great parts of coaching is when you get a guy like this who's so talented, and you know, you are tasked with helping develop him and bring him along the right way. And I'm really proud of our staff. They've worked really hard with JK, and he's putting in the work every single day. So it's a really good process, and you know, we're giving him some starts, we're giving him playing time, we're pulling him back. It's all, I think, very organic and a kind of a natural progression for him. And he has to prove that he is understanding the concepts that we're teaching him and the requirements that come with, you know, helping a team win NBA games. And as he grows more and more comfortable with that stuff, he'll play more and more.
You said earlier about, you know, viewing a season in segments. How long in general are your segments? I know in hockey they're very devoted to five-game segments. How have we done in the last five games? Is there a number that you envision when you talk about segments, or is it just we've seen this in this number of games, and that's a floating number?
No, we definitely look at our season week by week. You know, we'll have the whole week schedule on the board when we come into the facility on Monday, and so we're trying to just win the week and do a great job, and then we reshuffle the deck the next week and do it again. But when I talk about segments, I'm really talking more about the challenges that come within the 82, and the segment that we're in right now, I think, is about Draymond's injury and some offensive struggles, you know, and that's been over the last, 15 games or so. And so that's a segment that I'm talking about, injuries or poor play or maybe, you know, the opposite, more, maybe perfect health and really efficient play. They tend to come in waves. And so you ride it out when it's going great, and when you're struggling with stuff, you try to pinpoint where you can get better, and you focus on getting out of it.
Are you surprised, at least with a bit of hindsight, at how long the offensive struggles have lasted team-wise? You didn't have these at all to any great length, you know, 15 to 19, and then we can sort of discount the 20 season as just sort of, you know, a health disaster. But is this the first time you've experienced this length of offensive struggle from this team?
I don't know. We've had about a 15 or 20 game struggle now, where over the course of those 20, you know, our offensive rating has really dropped. Our pace has dropped. A lot of our key numbers, performance indicators that we look at have dropped, and it is a little bit surprising, but, it's also something that I'm not that concerned about, you know, because there are some reasons for that, you know, whether it's injuries, COVID, Clay coming back and us changing our rotations, guys not playing in back-to-backs and substitution patterns changing. There's just been a lot going on. So, and those aren't excuses that I'm trying to use. It's more just the facts. I'm just looking at it, and I know that when we're whole, we're going to be really good at both ends. And the good news is our defense has held up, even without Draymond, which was a question I had about our team. Would we be able to maintain our defense without him? And we have been able to. We're not as good, but we're still, you know, I think fourth in the league in defensive rating when Draymond is out. So pretty impressive for the group to be that good at that end of the floor. And that allows us to stay in every game.
Steve, I don't know if there's any medical fact to it or if it just makes for a good origin story of a superhero. But normally, like when a sense gets denied to someone, other senses start spidey sense tingling with more efficiency. And as Steph Curry has struggled from the floor, I can't help but notice, even though he had four turnovers last night, his assist-to-turnover ratio, especially over the last five games or so, has really, really been through the roof. It feels like as he is trying to figure out how to get a shot back, there's an unintended consequence of him maybe taking care of the ball a little bit better, or maybe that's a reflection of Draymond's absence and him feeling he needs to carry that load a little bit more? Where do you come down on that?
I just think he's been playing great. I mean, his defense has been fantastic. He's taken over more of the point guard duties with Draymond out, for sure. And he has really made good decisions and moved the ball. Last night was one of our best offensive games, and he had several plays where he just got the ball into the paint and kicked it out to wide open guys. And there was a great pace and flow to the game last night. And so even when Steph is not shooting the ball well from the outside, there's a flow that happens, and he's still, you know, he's still an all world basketball player because he does so many other things besides shoot.
Well, I'll tell you, Steve, we really appreciate having you on. Timberwolves coming up tomorrow. So does that mean like Andrew Wiggins is sitting in a completely dark room staring into a light bulb without blinking, like right now, just getting ready?
Getting locked in.
Totally. Chris Spielman apparently used to do that when he was at Ohio State. He would sit in a room staring at a light bulb before the Michigan game, and he would go out and have 22 tackles. Will Andrew Wiggins have 22 tackles tomorrow night?
Pretty good chance of it. I mean, he's played really well against those guys. I'm just excited to play them. You know, they took it to us a couple weeks ago in Minneapolis, and they're playing really well. That's a young team that's on the rise, and so I'm excited. You know, especially coming off a great performance last night. I think the challenge of tomorrow, and then you know Brooklyn coming in Saturday. I think it's these games are coming at a really good time for our team.
It should be a very, very interesting wrap-up to this homestand for sure. As we wrap up this conversation, Steve, today is the sad two-year anniversary of us all learning of Kobe Bryant's death. To you, what is the lasting legacy of Kobe Bryant?
Well, you know, just having played against him for so much of my career, it was just you know, watching how competitive he was night in and night out. I mean, clearly one of the all-time greats, but also being from Los Angeles and understanding what he meant to that city is pretty profound. And it's still hard to really come to grips with that he's not with us anymore. Just devastating.
Indeed. Thank you very much. Like you said, from Los Angeles, what if the 49ers beat the Rams in the NFC title game? How will that make Los Angeles feel?
Yeah. I mean, they kind of own them, don't they? Six in a row? Impressive.
It is. Look at Steve officially following up. Were you upset that you had to play at the same time as that Bills-Chiefs game that everyone was talking about?
You know it. It was maybe the greatest weekend of football ever. That was especially the Sunday games, to not really get to see them with us playing. That was those were two incredible games.
They were, man. Thank you so much. Good luck the rest of the way. And as always, we appreciate your time, Steve.
All right. Sounds good. Thanks a lot for having me.
Thank you. Steve Kerr, brought to you by Xfinity. Stay connected, protected, and entertained.